Blog Talk sure. Radio.
Welcome to City on a Hill radio show. Diana Cruz and I are here together today. This is Barbara Moore, and we're looking forward to having you join us. We'll be talking about Veterans Day, honoring our veterans who have served and are serving so sacrificially, and how we must give honor to whom honor is due, and that is our veterans. And we observe Veterans Day tomorrow, the 11th month, the 11th day, the 11th hour, going all the way back to 1918 and the first Armistice Day when that peace was declared on the 11th month, the 11th day, and the 11th hour. So we'll be sharing some of that. But right now, let's say hello to Diana. How are you?
Hi, Miss Barbara. Oh, it's a beautiful day. And just, you know, thinking about what you have already said, you know, it's really a very important time of the year. And I can't wait to hear what you've got in store for us, because I think you have a treat for us with all the history that you're fixing to share with us, the listeners of City on Hill Radio Show.
Well, you know, something that means a lot to me, well, I mean, there's so much about our veterans that is worthy of our admiration and appreciation and, you know, so very much. But one of the things that I like to share with my students, and I do ask them the question, when our military people raise their hand and take an oath, they do that to uphold and defend and support what? That is my question to them, and to get them thinking. And, you know, so many answer, well, to defend and support and uphold our country. And then others answer the people of the United States. They take that oath to God to uphold the people of the United States. And there'll be various answers to uphold our freedom and defend our freedom and all of that. But the answer is, of course, that every military person who's ever served and is currently serving, whether officer, enlisted, whatever the position, in whatever rank, whatever branch of military service, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, they point their hand toward heaven to Almighty God, and they take an oath to uphold and support and defend the Constitution of the United States of America. And in doing so, then they are defending, in the very best sense, and the people, our freedom, our country, but they take that oath to the Constitution and to defend it. So, you know, to me, it's just such a beautiful illustration of how important that Constitution. And I tell them, I say, you know, so many of our people have laid down their lives. You know, they're upholding that oath that they took, and against enemies, foreign and domestic. You know, and many have lost their lives and laid down their lives. And, you know, to uphold and defend the Constitution, you know, it seems like the least we could do would be to read and see what they're willing to lay down their lives, and many have laid down their lives, upholding that oath to it. You know, don't we have an obligation, we the beneficiaries, of all the freedom and all the opportunity and all the prosperity and you know, that our soldiers, you know, they on the line for us, you know, don't we have an obligation to read the Constitution, to study the Constitution, to understand it? So, you know, that's a point that I like to make about our veterans. And I don't know that our general population understands that, Diana. I don't know that they do.
Well, Ms. Barbara, as you were saying that, I also think of defend, you know, the Constitution. I think, you know, we know that man is fallen, and there is nothing in this world perfect. But I think as beneficiary, you know, we who are the citizens of this great nation owes it to the legacy that was left to us to defend it. And I think for too long we have taken it for granted that we are going to have godly leaders who are going to watch out for our best interests. But
well, you know what?
I think, go ahead, Paul.
The founders made no such mistake at all. In fact, as Jefferson said, bind down their mischief, bind them down in their mischief by the Constitution. Do not trust. In other words, our founding fathers never, ever put their trust in man. They put their trust in God, and then they designed the Constitution with the knowledge that man is sinful and is subject to temptation, is subject to ambitious goals and designs. And, you know, even, Diana, even when we're saved and we're filled with the Holy Spirit sincerely desire to do good and do God's will, we're always subject to temptation. You know, we don't have to give into it, but we're subject to it as long as we're living on this earth. And so they recognized that, and they designed it so that it would restrict man's ambitions and his power mongering, and because they recognized the biblical truth that man is sinful.
And
so,
Barbara,
go ahead.
I think of the words, and I can't remember who said it, trust and verify, and it's the same thing with the Word of God. We are to read it, and that's why they, you know, established a first school so that the children could look and compare what was in God's Word versus what is out there in the world.
Absolutely.
Laws being passed, and we have come a long way, and I just really think that part of the reason we're in such a mess is we have given up on that role that the founders knew, the pilgrims knew, were very important to keep this society, this nation, free.
Yeah, that's right. And that was Ronald Reagan that said, trust but verify. You know, you never, never, never just trust and go about your merry way. You verify, and you do that as with children as well. You know, inspect what you expect. If you expect students or children to do certain things, you better follow through and make sure they do, because when they discover that you don't, they won't be meeting those expectations. You know, that is a frailty of this sinful human nature. And so, you know, and what you said about our children and the beginning of education was that they could learn to read and read the Bible, understand God's standards, and evaluate everything, every idea by God's standards. Evaluate, you know, compare, does it line up with God's Word? What does the Bible say? And, you know, as we have gotten away, and we have somehow or another thought we got smarter than that. You know, it seems to me like that's an old, old story, you know.
Yes. And I think, Ms. Barbara, you know, with Veterans Day coming up tomorrow, and it just makes me really think. You know, there's cases in history that we have made mistakes as a nation. It's just like people, you know. And I've often heard, you know, it's like with computers, garbage in, garbage out. And like you said, we have neglected that duty. We can trust our government, but we have to verify. We, the people, are really the ones that's supposed to hold them in check. And I think we have given up in that. And so when we hear things like what happened in some of the wars, you know, the Vietnam War, I think part of the reason that happened is, again, we have forgotten that our leaders are not perfect. And I think we have put too much trust sometimes. And again, you know, we cannot blame what happens when due to error, wrong decisions are made. And I think part of the thing that is so sad about the Vietnam War is we know that there were men and women that joined that force that really felt in their heart they were doing their best to to protect their country. But because of the outcome of the war and what was happening during the war, you know, these that should have been seen as really heroes, they were caught up in things that really they had no control of themselves, and they come home and they were, in essence, vilified. But I think it comes down to, you know, who is at the bottom of the pile as far as error? And I think the leadership, you know, is something that really we have to always be, like you said, trust and verify. We have to be awake. We have to really hold our leadership accountable, just as we're seeing today a lot of things that have went wrong. And again, I think we're waking up. But it is such a very important part of the way this nation was set up, wasn't it, for we the people to really be involved.
That's right. And, you know, when you're talking about accountability, you look to our military. There is so much accountability in the military service. It's set up that way. Again, recognizing the sinful nature of man and man's tendency and to try to do his own thing instead of, you know, follow orders. But they have to, they really work hard on accountability. And one of the things that I love about our country is that when we are wrong, we do try to correct it. And it's not always discovered right away. That's true. But things many times come to the light and are exposed, and then there will be good people there to try to correct the wrongs. And the Bible says it says in Proverbs that the simple believe every word, but the prudent man looks well to his going. And so if we're going to be prudent the way God wants us to, we look at the record. We don't just believe everything we're told and trust in that. We examine, we analyze, we look at the record. And I think that the American people did a lot of that leading up to the November 2nd elections, when they voiced, they made their voices heard loudly and clearly that we do not approve of the direction that the leadership is taking this country. And, you know, I'm just so grateful for that. And I know a lot of veterans made their voices heard in that election too. But well, Diana, I want to digress here for a minute, if we could. I made two calls today, to Governor Riley's office, and to make my voice heard, objecting to the Common Core standards, which, as you know, I say are rotten to the core. Now, other call I made was to Vice President of the State School Board, Randy McKinney. And if you're listening to this program and you don't live in Alabama, this still applies to and relates to you and to everyone in the United States, because there is an attempt by the Obama administration for a federal national takeover of education, which we all know is totally unconstitutional. For the federal government to be involved in education in any way is illegal. The Constitution does not authorize that power to the federal government, only to the states and the people, respectively. So anyway, Diana, I called Governor Riley's office to make my objections known. And I did so. I gave quite a few reasons, including the cost, the enormous cost that are going to be involved in a complete overhaul of the educational system. All the computers, state-of-the-art computers that are going to be necessary for the assessments and individual assessments and all the grandiose plans that the Obama administration has for our education, our educational system. And so I talked about the costs, and I talked about the unconstitutionality of the Common Core standards being forced on the states by the federal government. I did not go into the bribery or blackmail that's being done by those in authority that saying that they're going to withhold Title I funds from the states that don't comply and all of that. I didn't go into all that. And I talked about the barrier, the further barrier that this federal takeover places between parents and their children. You know, we've seen that barrier grow stronger, and this makes it even worse for parents trying to direct their children's education. And you know, it just does away with their authority in that regard. So anyway, I made that call, and I talked to a lady by the name of Patty in the governor's office, and told her all this. And then Diana, then she said that I must. Let's see, where did you get your information? Indicating that I didn't know what I was talking about.
Oh, my goodness.
Indicating that I was all wrong. In fact, in so many words, she told me so. But she did ask, where did you get your information? So I told her. I told her only a little bit about where I was getting my information, including professor from Stanford and he's on the NASA board of directors and Professor Sandra Strotsky and Donna Garner and all the wealth of information that we have been given by so many interviewed right here on City on a Hill radio show. And wow. But anyway, it was an interesting conversation, and in the course of it, I did tell her that I hope that others who call will be treated with greater respect, and they will not be accused of not understanding and having the wrong information and all. And so in the course of the conversation, she said that she has a list right there in front of her of the myths
oh my
about
goodness.
The Common Core. Yes, yes, I knew you'd like that. And you see, I guess I was naming all the so-called myths that she had in front of her.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Ms. Barbara, thank you for making that phone call. But, you know, it just really, again, I think it's in line with something mentioned earlier about the importance of trusting and verifying and our leadership. You know, we take it for granted in the past that they are looking out for our best interests. But we are seeing more today that we really have to be very careful where our trust is going to be placed, because they're calling evil good and good evil. And also, as it was mentioned earlier, kind of, you know, with this new Congress, they're going to have subpoena powers. And one of the things that they're going to be asking for is really credible scientists that will also show the other side, because it has been a one-sided affair. And I think with this Common Core standards, you and I know it without a shadow of a doubt. It is a one-sided affair. The two professors we mentioned, you mentioned Sandra Stocksky and Jim Milgram, you know, they are impeccable. I mean, Professor Jim Milgram from California, Stanford University, is the one of those that helped develop the best math standards in the country, California. And Professor Sandra Stocksky is one of those that helped develop the best English language arts in the country, Massachusetts. So when these people speak, it should be like E.F. Hutton. The state board, Alabama State Board and Governor Riley, if they are serious about finding out the truth and what is for the best for Alabama's children, they need to give these people their ear. And that is the most baffling thing to me, is if you really care about our children, why do you not see both sides of the story, let it be presented correctly, and weigh it? Don't just give us, you know, call it myth. We know this is not myth.
But Diana, apparently, Governor Riley's mind is made up, and we're going to need to change his mind. That's my indication. That she has this sheet in front of her with the myths about the Common Core standards, and apparently, you know, authorized to argue with people who call to object to them and tell them how wrong they are. I would assume Governor Riley's authorizing her to do that, but apparently his mind is made up. But, you know, please call, grab a pencil. I'm going to give the number. And then Vice President of the State School Board, Randy McKinney. I didn't get to talk to him. He was on the phone, and I kind of gathered it was maybe someone else objecting. They've had a lot of calls, but they need a lot more. But anyway, that was a very pleasant conversation. I asked the secretary to say she had a list of those that object, you know, growing list. And I said, please, I strongly object, you know, and she just laughed, and she said, I will write that down, but Governor Riley's number is 334-242-7100, and he needs to hear from every one of us, and I'm sure you will be treated very respectfully and politely now. Randy McKinney's number is 251-967-2166. So both are in favor of the Common Core standards at this time, and you know, but hopefully they will not remain in favor of these standards. You know, and Diana, I was thinking about this too, and I told her this. And very nicely, I was very polite, but I said, you know, the excuse is given. The whole excuse for this massive overhaul of our entire educational system in this country, the excuse is given that if a student moves from one state to another, from Nevada to New Jersey, then they need to be on the same page in New Jersey as they are in Nevada. And that's never been the case. It never will be the case, no matter what they do. But what they can do is already in place. That is not a problem at all, because every state has a state board of education and a website where they list the standards for each grade level. And, you know, kind of like there's a couple of books, What Every First Grader Should Know, What Every Second Grader Should Know, and so on. And I've forgotten the author. I'm sorry, but it's a good measure there. But they list those. Every state already does that. So if you're moving, if you're moving your child across country or from one state to another, you just go to the website and you see what they are teaching, what their standards are, and you know you prepare for it. You know.
Right, Miss Barbara. You know, for everything that they say is good and the reason we should do this, I think, like you said, there's a way to work things out. And to me, the overriding factor is how dare they take away my God-given right to parent my child and oversee his or her education. You know, that is really, to me, the key factor. How dare they do that? It is my constitutional right to be involved in this process. You know, it's a God-given
right.
And if there's competition
in education, you as a parent, you do your research, you find out where the best schools are, and you try to get your child in there, you know. And you know, also, Diana, education begins in the classroom. We know that it begins at birth, at home with the parents, and that the parents are truly their best teachers. But the parents delegate some of their authority to the teacher in the classroom. And in that classroom, every teacher has standards. And a good teacher is going to have high standards. And a bad teacher is not going to have good standards. And the best thing that we can do to make sure that there are high standards in the classroom is get rid of the bad teachers. Now, why don't we talk about that? Why? Because the union has a hold on us. They are controlling that. Bad teachers, you're not permitted to get rid of bad teachers. You got to keep them because they pay their union dues. It's that union thuggery again. And so, you know, But the standards, you know, that good teachers have good high standards regardless of what state they're located in, and there are good teachers all over this country with high standards. Let's keep them, but let's get rid of the bad ones that don't have those high standards. To me, that would be the best way of ensuring high standards. And that our children will learn a lot. And, you know, the thing, too, I was just thinking about all this stuff. And I was thinking, you know, it really isn't rocket science, you know, this business of educating. It really isn't. We want our teachers to know their subject matter and to know it backwards and forwards and upside and downside and all the ins and outs, and also, but not just their subject matter. We want them to have a good background, a broad range of knowledge about the world, about our country, about, you know, to be all around knowledgeable, as well as knowing their subject matter thoroughly. And then we want our teachers to use a variety of techniques and strategies to impart that knowledge to our children, to really communicate essential material to students. And you know, what I like to do is to teach to the highest level while at the same time drilling, doing a lot of repetition on vital information that every student has to know, you know. So that would be lots of repetition with a variety of different ways of communicating it, and then, you know, having high expectations of every student, requiring them to work. They've got to work hard if they're going to own their knowledge. You know, I perhaps others have done this as well, but, you know, starting out, you know, a teacher just bends over backwards, you know, and pretty much does all the work trying to impart all this knowledge. But truly,
it's when students have to dig and for knowledge, and so you require a lot of them, so that they do have to work, and then they will own that knowledge for themselves. So there's just, you know, but that hasn't changed, Diana. That hasn't changed in thousands of years. Those basic, and I just named a few, you know, of what goes on in the classroom or what should go on in the classroom. And it really hasn't changed.
Well, I think so. I think too that, you know, this is a dangerous trend, because of course it does take away the parental input. And I was doing a study of, you know, they were amazed at how foreign-born students were doing extremely well, you know. And one of the things that I happened to study on was like the Korean culture. You know, they have very high expectations, you know, of their children. Again, it's that parental input of what the parent expect. And I think, too, with homeschoolers, you think about these are parents, not all of them have any college or, you know, or any professional teacher development, but yet the statistics prove that because of that parental involvement where they're expecting the very best of their children, the percentage are just sky high that these children are doing extremely well. So I think they're going the wrong way when they take away the parental input, and with all the problems that they're saying they want to solve with this, make kids college and career ready, those are problems we've always had. But what we're seeing that really statistically have worked is when parents are involved. And, again, I think even faith is more important than that, because a lot of these parents that are homeschooling, they're doing it because they are Christians that want to train the children up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And I think if they had to do statistics on that, you know, that right there is the determining factor, I think, of just success, you know. And I think, but, you know, they're not studying that. They really don't want to study the parental input. They want to study about, you know, other ways of helping improve a child's mind and make them college and career ready, but they're ignoring the common sense fact that's under their nose.
So it makes you really wonder, are they really seeking good education for children? You know, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And what you're saying, Diana, reminded me of the story of Dr. Ben Carson, the pediatric neurosurgeon at Johns Hopkins Hospital. And his story is just the best example about parental involvement. And there is a book that he wrote, Gifted Hands, and then there has been a movie made, and I strongly recommend both to everyone. In fact, I purchased the book for my oldest grandson and want all of my grandchildren to read it as well. But when Ben Carson was a small child, he and his brother loved to watch TV. I think both of them were at the bottom of their class in school. Their father became no longer in the picture, and the mother was left with all the responsibility, and she took it seriously. She sought God's wisdom and felt like the Lord was leading her to turn off the TV and take the boys to the library, to the public library. And then from that point, she required each one of them to read a book and prepare a written book report to be read to her every week, not month, week. And I remember reading that Ben Carson's early interest was animals, and so he began to read about animals and animal stories and just became enthralled. Well, by the end of 1 year, he was at the top of his class, and so was his brother. And it continued. It continued all through school, this one book a week, book report read
to the mom. You know what you said about the homeschool parents not necessarily having a college degree, but yet they direct their children's education. It turns out that mama couldn't read, and that's why she had her boys reading their reports to her. But she cared about their education, and she had high expectations and high requirements. Well, of course, they both, the brothers, ended up at the with the top of their class. They got scholarships, and I think the brother is an engineer, but Ben Carson is the most talented pediatric neurosurgeon in the world, and has done some remarkable surgeries, separating Siamese twins, and so forth. And but what a story about a mother's love and guidance for her own children, and how she was able to direct their education that way while not having education herself. And she did end up getting a college degree. She did it too, you know.
Wow.
But when she was doing that, she didn't have any education. I think she probably, I believe she was a cleaning lady. And
I think, Ms. Barbara, I have seen that. I have seen that on the 700 Club, and I love that story, and you're so right. And if I remember right, I think she might have had an eighth grade education back then.
Yeah.
She couldn't read, like you said, and I think I remember her saying that the Lord had led her to do that. Never mind that the children didn't know she couldn't read. But, you know,
yeah.
And this was a woman that was raising her children as a single parent, I think, in the ghettos. And so, you know, of all the, you know, the people that we see today, if you're one of those that's broken, you know, hopeless, you know, this woman was able to manage it. And what I heard about him was he was the first neurosurgeon to separate successfully Siamese twins. So,
yes, absolutely.
You know,
he's the best in the world.
Amazing God story. Yes, and I just, again, I think it is the parental input that is so key. And again, you know, we have to look at our leadership. And I don't mean to disrespect Governor Riley. You know, I am praying that his heart that loves children, that is a child of God also. Yes, he's our governor. But he also is a child of God, that he would remember that really he's going to be going against the biblical call, you know, as to parenting these children, train them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And, you know, that one that you all, I like to let you start across because I can't remember the rest of it. It's better to hang a millstone around your neck.
Yes.
You know, we as a state and really as a nation with this Common Core standards, that is exactly what we are doing. And I cannot help but believe that God above is watching, and we are going to have to account because, you know, we are making it easy for these children to be so misled. It is really a crime. And we were talking about the other day about the sexualization that is out there in the culture. All you have to do is watch TV and know that sex is out there. You know, it is different time. These children are being bombarded. No wonder there is more crime. There's more sex crime, you know, molestations, rape. All sorts of atrocities are being, you know, put out there against the innocent ones because really, we have allowed this as a culture, and this will just, again, you know, it's what we said about the health care reform. It's something on steroids. It's bankrupting our nation in steroids. Well, that was doing it physically, economically. I feel like, Ms. Barbara, this is going to bankrupt the minds of our children on steroids, the Common Core standards.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, anyone who controls the standards controls the curriculum, and of course we're talking about the federal government controlling the standards, the federal government controlling the money, controlling the curriculum. Therefore, they control the ideas that are going to be going into our children's minds. and indoctrinating them. They're already doing an indoctrination process regarding the sexualization of the children. They're requiring kindergartners to have sex ed and all of this stuff. And the sex ed that they're teaching is not from a biblical perspective. What else do we know that they're shoving down our throats? That is the common good, the collective, the socialism, the communism, the ideas that the individuals don't count and individual liberty, you know, doesn't count. It's all about the common good. And, the common good is reached when individuals are protected, their liberties and their lives are protected. Then you have the common good, but they're not talking about that. They're talking about emphasizing the common good, and everybody has to bow down before that and do whatever the government says is for the common good. And, you know, we know they're already teaching this. They're teaching it with the environment, the greening of our country, and all the indoctrination on climate control and all of that, which is garbage. It is so wrong. And let's also, while we're talking about all of that, remind everyone, Diana, of Cornwall Alliance. Go online to Cornwall Alliance. They're offering a video that they have produced with wonderful experts, and it's greening, resisting the dragon, resisting something like that. And it's for use in schools, in churches, in neighborhoods, in homes, in homeschools. And they are doing their very best. Dr. Calvin, is it Beisner?
Mm-hmm.
That sometimes comes on City on a Hill radio show and talks with us. And I saw him on Fox News. I saw him on Glenn Beck not too long ago. And he did a great job. Resisting the Green Dragon is the name of the video series. And David Barton, I think, is one of the guest speakers on that series. But anyway, we know what the government, the ideas that the government is going to be pushing on our children. We know that. We already see what's coming. Do we want it cemented in stone in our children?
It's really, really sad, because I think the parents that's out there that wants to be at every football game, every baseball game, every ballet rehearsal, piano rehearsal, don't realize the importance of this next state board meeting, November the 18th.
No.
If they did, I would, hindsight, I mean, it's really going to be sad when it's all over, you know, if it doesn't go the right way. So I'm really asking them to look at it as, you know, it's really that one day is going to make a difference in the lifetime of the children of Alabama, I think. You know, we don't know what's going to be up the road. We do not know if this will be changed, if we can even change this. The hope is with a new Republican Congress, something can be done. But that's not a given, as we see in health care reform. You know, it's like fighting tooth and nail to get one thing done with that. And this is really something they had planned so beautifully while we were so busy with health care reform. We had no idea that they had this in the plan. But here it is, and it's almost all across this nation. And most parents, unfortunately, are so asleep. But I think if they just really knew, they would be so angry, so very angry at what is being planned for their children. I know I am very angry. I think it's an affront to the citizen of this state of Alabama who values freedom, and really every citizen that values freedom. I mean, how basic can it be? The Founding Fathers and the Pilgrims, I mean, the people that came to this nation did so because of their children.
Well, yesterday in the Dothan paper, and I understand it was published throughout the state, the basic same article maybe altered slightly throughout the state, but I know it appeared in the Birmingham paper. And in the Dothan Eagle, the title was Alabama School Board to Consider U.S. Standards. U.S. standards, not the governor's state standards, U.S. standards, okay? And then it goes on to say they're going to decide, and it was written in such a biased manner, whether to join, get this, to join 38 other states in adopting common standards for math and English language arts. You know, it's whether to join with the majority, you know. But so anyway, then it goes on to say Common Core state standards, not United States standards, but state standards, outlines what students are expected to learn in those subjects in each grade. And remember, we already talked about that's already online on the websites of the state school boards, what students are expected to learn in those subjects in each grade. It's already done. It's all, you know, you don't have to do all this. Then it goes on to say, it's an initiative led by the National Governors Association Center, and says the standards have been controversial throughout the country. Some state board members say they fear it's the first step toward a nationalized education system. Now, I want you to tell me whether this is true, because you attended a meeting. It says Deputy Superintendent Tommy Weiss says four public hearings across the state have been held on the issue, and comments received were, quote-unquote, overwhelmingly in support of the standards. Is that true? The meeting you attended, what were they,
the meeting
were
I
the
attended,
people in the audience overwhelmingly in support?
First
I'm not
of
talking
all,
about the people on the platform.
There was not many people there, Ms. Barbara. I think you could probably say 50 out of a regional area of Montgomery, which we are supposedly also a part of. So I would think, I don't know how much the population is of that area, but when you say 50 people and you say so many of those people overwhelmingly supported it, I mean, does it really have any weight when a minuscule amount of people gets to have a say? And the one in Mobile, only two parents knew about it. The rest of it were state board members. So for
okay,
them to
those
say
two
that,
parents.
There were only four.
Okay.
Two parents
okay.
in the Mobile region area. How sad.
Okay, well, let me ask
that?
You. I want to ask you, those two parents, were both of them in support of the state standards?
Well, they were asking them to have more meetings because they did not understand enough.
Okay, so they were
no,
not in
I
support.
I would say they were not for it, no. They
so
weren't wanting to
overwhelmingly,
learn about it. It sounds good, but no, they were not overwhelmingly for it. Two
whether
out
it was
of
two?
Two in the Mobile area. Maybe,
okay, but
maybe
whether,
about a dozen or more for the state board. You know, people.
Okay.
Maybe 20 people at the most were there.
Okay.
At the Mobile area meeting.
Let's say that there were two parents. Okay. But whether it's two parents or 1,000 parents, the statement was that those who attend the meetings as observers or, you know, not there in an official capacity, but those who attend the meetings are overwhelmingly in support. Well, in Mobile, 100% was against, because whether it's two, as it was, or whether it's 50, 100%, both parents were against them doing this now. They wanted them to wait. They opposed it. So,
yeah.
You know, this is not true that that comments received were overwhelmingly in support.
Yeah, that is false. And that's what I'm
okay.
I'm afraid of that is that why they are presenting this to push this agenda, to push the common
exactly.
core. I mean, it should be that there's two sides to the story. Two sides need to be heard. And there's not but one side to this that's being heard, and it's all for it. So it's very biased, and it's very, I think, it's really sad. We supposedly live in a free country, free state, but this is going to be pushed down our throat is what it sounds like.
Well, you know, I think there are some questions to be asked repeatedly. Number one, is this the only way to raise standards? Is this the only way to raise standards in our schools? Well, obviously it's not, you know. Okay, another question would be, what is going to be the cost? And you know, all the states are broke, and if the states are, and the government's broke, so, you know, should we really be starting down this path of increased spending in public education when we're broke? I think that needs to be asked again and again. And then we need to ask, is this the only solution to a pretty much non-existent problem of a student moving from state to state and, you know, not knowing what is expected or where they are in their subject matter and so forth. You know, 2 + 2 = 4 in California as well as Maine. And, you know, we have some basic knowledge that's going to be imparted to our children, you know, one step at a time, line upon line, precept upon precept, and build and grow in complexity and as they mature and so forth. I mean, this is done all over the country. So, you know, already in place, we have those state school boards with their standards for each grade level, and it is accessible to anyone who wants to know. So, you know, I think this would expose what you're saying, Diana, that they have an agenda. And for us to act like they don't, you know, we need to let them know that they're not fooling us. They're not fooling us. That we realize that they're pushing this for their own reasons and not to bring about higher standards for education and not to help a student that wants to move from New Jersey to Oregon. You know, that's just a ruse. Wow. That's just an excuse, just like you're saying.
Well, and it reminds us of the Nancy Pelosi thing. Let's pass it first. And it's like it's some emergency, you know, the house is burning. And yet we heard at the state board meeting they can really wait till next year to approve this. But yet they're in a hurry to do it. And when you don't have a majority of Alabamians, not even half of Alabamians, knowing about this very important process, Ms. Barbara, how, you know, to me, it's a crime against the people of Alabama to force this when the entire state really needs to be involved in this issue because it's about rights of the parents.
To me, it shows an overwhelming disrespect for the people of Alabama and the people of America to push this through quickly and to go along with this federal takeover of education when the American people and the people of Alabama went to the polls November 2nd, and they gave the loudest shout of no, no more federal takeovers of anything. We don't want it. We don't like it. We won't have it. And then for our state school, our, not our state school board, well, yeah, our state school board, to go against this mandate by the American people to, you know, it's just unconscionable.
It is.
It's insulting.
And Ms. Barbara, I think it's like everything else, you know, that leadership, I mean, you know, we took it, I think, I really thought that Governor Riley would look out for the people. But in this instant, either he's very misled, and I hate to think of what the other side of it is if he's not misled. So let's just pray to God. You ready, Ms. Barbara? Give it to God in prayer, as we always like to.
Well, and
I also want to mention something that I heard today about the military. You know, with this political correctness thing, one of the things that they were talking about was about the killing of, 50 people injured at the Fort Hood, I call it massacre, you know, by that man who really was proclaiming jihad, and really it should have been seen as that. There were people that knew he was saying these things, but yet nobody spoke up, and out of that, many people's lives have been mutilated. They're never going to be the same. Many will not, it's not back. Loss of their families forever. And I think, you know, we're in the same boat, so to speak. I think we have to speak up. So I'm praying the listeners will gather their family members come November 18th. We have to speak up, because I think, you know, when I imagine a little child, a little kindergartner, that's going to be forced to learn that homosexuality is okay. We know what the Bible says about that. And for them to be led down the wrong path has eternal implications. And I don't think Alabama, I don't really think Governor Riley wants to go that route. So I'm praying that their eyes will be open, because Alabama will change. This will change the citizens of our state. Really, this nation, if the Common Core standards is not sent back where it came from.
Well, you know, Diana, when I was speaking with Governor Riley's office today, the lady there did say that she's getting a lot of calls. So people are beginning to wake up. Of course, they need to hear from everyone, because they do keep track of the number of calls and who's for it and who's against it. And, you know, we've got to stand up and defend our children and protect our children. If we don't, who will? You know, God has entrusted them to us. So, you know, we've got to protect them. And
Ms. Barbara,
so,
let me go ahead and mention this on our website, cityonthehill.tv, for people that want to get more information. You're going to see something on the very front page, the picture of Abraham Lincoln. You can click on that, and it's got just about everything you'd need to know to get a handle on this information. Articles that's been put out there, letters from Professor Stotsky, things like that. So just look at that picture of Abraham Lincoln, comes right on the front. Click on it and get to know what we're talking about, your own self. Study it and verify it, and then please make a difference. Go ahead, Ms. Barbara.
And also, that is good counsel, Diana, what you just said. And also, know, though, that you don't have to know all of it before you make that call. You are an Alabama citizen, and you have a right, you pay taxes, you have a right to have, that they've asked for public input. We are the public. We can just make that call, and we don't even have to give any reasons when we call. If you can, if you want to, but you don't have to. You know, anyone can call and say, object to those common core standards and this, you know, and I want to be counted with those that object to it. You know, give a reason if you'd like, give a reason if you can, but you don't have to give a reason. You are an Alabama citizen with all the dignity and respect that goes with that. And, you know, you don't have to give an account. They have to give an account, you know. So, yeah, you know, Diana, sometimes I think we think we have to know it all to talk about it, but we don't. You know, when we started, you started interviewing people how long ago?
Oh, I think since August, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, since summer. And, you know, I didn't know anything about it. It reminded me of Gold 2000, which, and all that stuff. But I really didn't know anything about it. But you can't learn it all at once. So it's taken me a long time to even know what little I know about it. So anyway, but we know that God wants our children protected. We know that. And we know that he's entrusted them to us. And we are given the responsibility and the authority to protect them as parents, as grandparents. And then we know as Alabama citizens that we have a right to give input as to our opinions. Our opinions are valuable and credible. And so, you know,
Ms. Barbara,
I... Yes.
Ms. Barbara, let me go ahead and mention this too as part of this for people that want to share this podcast. On our website, when they click on it, the first thing they'll see is Mr. Lou Gerstner's words in an article in the Wall Street Journal. So if, you know, if people want to know that, I think that was really very, you know, eye-opening for me because Ms. Betty Peters has been telling us this. It's where he says, I'm going to suggest that he, suggestion to President Obama, that he convenes the 50 governors, and the first thing they do is they abolish the 16,000 school districts we have in the United States. These organizations stand in the way of what we want to do. And I'm thinking that right there, you know, just really just boggles the mind, just really sends a chill that, you know, they actually want to abolish the school district. And this is happening. It's happening.
Yeah. Yeah. It's... Yeah, it shows what they're all about, and they disguise it with all sorts of high-sounding terms and phrases and excuses and so forth. But they have revealed in different ways what they are all about. And you know, as members of God's family, you know. We need to stand up for what is right and true and noble and honorable and decent and honest, you know? I mean, if we don't stand up for those things as God's people, who will?
Mm. You're so right, Ms. Barbara. Who will?
Well, before we pray, I just want to, and I know you feel the very same way, we want to thank all our veterans from the bottoms of our hearts. We want to thank every veteran for all the service rendered to our country. God bless you, every veteran. And we do pray God's richest blessings upon you and your loved ones. And, you know, we can never say thank you enough to our veterans. So... when we get that chance to do that on this radio show too, Diana, and then in person as well. I love to thank veterans for their service.
And tomorrow, Miss Barbara, we're going to have, I think, a really wonderful show. We'll make it a two-hour show to honor our veterans on Veterans Day. So,
great.
Yes.
Well, let's pray. Let's we recognize that our human understanding is not enough to deal with any problem, that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. And we recognize, oh Lord, that your thoughts are so far above us, Lord, that you are right about everything. You are almighty, all-knowing, all-perfect. And, Father, your word tells us that we're to bring our thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ, that we're to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. And we do that, Father, and we acknowledge your wisdom, O God, your truth, your knowledge, your understanding. And we ask, Father, that you would help us to understand and to be able to apply rightly, to act judiciously, to act wisely, prudently, Lord, circumspectly, as your word says that we're to do that, with everything we face. And right now, Father, we're facing the decision of our children's future, and we pray, O Lord, that truth will prevail. And we pray, Father, that there will be many of us to speak out and speak the truth, and that truth will prevail, Father, and that evil will be stopped cold in its tracks, Lord. If we will defend what's right, Lord, we just pray that the plans that would be against our children would be stopped. And, Father, that you would be their shield, that you would be their bulwark, that you would protect them, O God, and that we would stand in the gap with you, O Lord. And, Father, we just thank you for the opportunity that you give us to serve you and, first of all, to know you personally through Christ, and to love you. And the more we know you, Father, the more we love you. And to serve you, Lord, to say, Lord, where do you need me? What do you need me to be doing? And we know, Father, we know in our hearts that the children are so special to you, Father, precious in your sight. And you want them protected and defended, Lord. So we do that. And we just thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you are their shield and that you have us standing in that gap. You are our help. You are our hope and theirs, Father. And we pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Ms. Barbara. And we thank God for the listeners. We hope that they will share this with their friends and family. We hope that, once again, God would have mercy on us like he did on November 2nd. It wasn't that long ago, wasn't it, Miss Barbara?
Wasn't it? I'm so glad you said that, because that's exactly what we need and what we need to pray for, too, for God to have mercy on us. Amen.
And to me, and Miss Barbara, I would think of it more as really the listeners, please, you know, if not for yourself, think about the little ones, because they are the ones that besides you will be suffering, you know.
Yeah.
And so please have mercy upon them and their future. And let's be like the George Washingtons and, you know, the founding fathers that thought of their posterity, right, Miss Barbara? And that
That's
made
right.
all the difference.
Their posterity was always before them in everything they, in every action they took,
for themselves and their posterity. So let's be like them.
And for those who may have tuned in to listen to what the other side, maybe you're a proponent of the Common Core Standards, we pray that you will really be open to the truth. We would not be speaking out if our heart was not in it. We care more about the kids. That's what it's all about. And I dare say that bottom line, you probably care about the kids too. So we hope that you would consider what you've heard today and give it to God in prayer, that you would make the right decision and make a difference for the future of America. It needs all of us, right, Ms. Barbara? It needs all of us.
That's right. That's right.
Well, may God bless you, listeners. And tomorrow, please tune in as we will be again remembering our heroes. It'll be a wonderful Veterans Day program. Thank you. May God bless you, and may God shine his face upon you. Thank you for listening to City on a Hill radio show. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.